grace, mercy, and peace from Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be and abide with each of you now and forever. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Mark chapter 10. I read for you again these words. Pharisees came up and in order to test Jesus asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Some of you have heard me say, asking the wrong question will invariably end up with the wrong answer. When we ask law questions, especially the what if types of questions, we need to realize that we're on dangerous ground. It's dangerous because it often means that we're trying to look for loopholes in the law rather than simply doing what the law requires. It might indicate that we're trying to justify ourselves. That is, we're trying to convince ourselves and possibly others, maybe even God, that we really aren't all that bad. We thus delude ourselves into not taking our sins as seriously as we should. Or, by asking those kinds of questions, we may be seeking to judge someone else. In any case, when we ask the wrong question, we'll get the wrong answer. Now, it does need to be said up front that this episode in today's gospel is not really about divorce at all. Rather, it's all about the hardness of man's heart. The real issue is man's stubborn and rebellious refusal to submit to God's word and will. The Pharisees' question about divorce is merely an illustration of that truth. Jesus was making his final journey to Jerusalem. The Pharisees had been harassing him almost from the beginning. They had set their hearts on getting rid of him. So when they asked him the loaded question, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" they weren't seeking information. They weren't interested in a discussion about divorce, and they weren't interested in hearing about God's design for marriage. They were simply trying to trap Jesus. They wanted something to use against him. Now, to understand how devious they really were, we need to understand that there's more to the question than is obvious. For the two leading rabbis of the day differed on what constituted legal grounds for divorce. And these differences were based on differing interpretations of Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, which reads, "If a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her, and sends her from his house," then the verse continues. Hillel, the more liberal of the two, said a man could divorce his wife for any reason, even for burning his meal. One of his followers, Rabbi Akiba, allowed a wife to be released whenever the husband found a better-looking woman. Sounds rather modern, doesn't it? The other school of thought, the one of Shammai, said a man could divorce his wife only in cases of unfaithfulness. In this case, A husband could write her a certificate of divorce and send her away quietly, much as Joseph wanted to do when he was told that Mary was pregnant. Or he could write her the certificate of divorce and bring charges against her before the elders of the city. And if he was able to produce proof of her infidelity, she could be stoned to death. So it is that Jesus is given two choices. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Yes or no. But Jesus knew the evil that was in their hearts. So rather than answer their deceitful question directly, Jesus went on the offensive. He directed them not to Deuteronomy, but to Genesis, to the beginning of creation. Rather than discuss divorce, Jesus talked about the original intent and the institution of marriage itself. When God created man and woman, He intended for them to live together forever. He intended for marriage to be the most important and intimate of relationships on earth. One man plus one woman equals one flesh. Marriage, by God's design, was to be the lifelong union of one man and one woman as long as we both shall live. This union was supposed to be a blessing for both because man and woman were a gift to each other. But because of the fall into sin, everything is corrupted, including the marriage relationship. Because of the hardness of man's heart, because of his sinfulness, he has totally corrupted marriage and how we view marriage. Rather than a lifelong commitment, man has turned marriage into as long as we both shall love. And yet, nothing we say or do can set aside God's original intent that marriage was to be a lifelong union of one man and one woman, a union to be dissolved only by God Himself. Furthermore, anything that brings in a foreign element to the marriage is sinful. Whether abuse, adultery, pornography, divorce, or any other sinful thoughts, words, or deeds. Anything that leads to the breakup of a marriage is sinful because it destroys what God has established. Divorce is sinful because it is man's way of playing God. But what man had destroyed by sin, God restored. For God had created man and woman to live in a perfect relationship with Him and with each other. But man's sin separated what God had joined together. Not just between husband and wife, but also between man and God Himself. But rather than divorce us because of our adultery of having other gods, God did everything necessary to bridge the gulf between us and Him. He sent His only Son to give His life for us. Jesus endured the threats of the Pharisees and died on the cross for our sins. He took our hard-heartedness, our divorces, our adultery, and our guilt upon Himself in order to set us free from them. By God's grace, our sins are forgiven in and through Christ Jesus. what man has rent asunder, Christ has joined together. So the answer to the Pharisees' question was, yes, divorce is legal, but that does not make it right. It is merely a concession to your hearts hardened in sin. And we do not need concessions. We need forgiveness. We don't need an easier law that lets us do what we want. We need law which gives us no wiggle room at all, no loopholes, no way out. We need law that nails us to the wall with the horrible reality of our utter depravity and sinfulness. We need law which does not let us off the hook of our own sinful desires. Only such law will lead us to see the reality of the depth of our sin and the punishment we so richly deserve, and lead us to the Savior we so desperately need. And such a Savior we have. A Savior who will not allow us to remain in our sin. A Savior who won't let us think that what the world accepts and tolerates is something He didn't die for. He died for all sins, to take what's wrong and suffer what it rightly deserves. Thus, He cleanses us to be His bride. And as we have been brought into a restored relationship with God in our baptism, we are to do everything we can to bring others into it as well. That's why Jesus was so perturbed with the disciples' hardness of heart. While the Pharisees' hard-heartedness kept them from worshiping Christ, the disciples' hard hearts moved them to keep others from worshiping Him. Some parents had brought their children to Jesus so that Jesus could touch them. But the disciples didn't want Jesus to be bothered. Or maybe it was they didn't want to be bothered. But Jesus had to teach the disciples about the importance of a childlike faith. Such faith trusts in our Father in heaven, even as children trust their parents for all things. Certainly, God is trustworthy. He keeps His promises, especially that He forgives us for Jesus' sake. Likewise, when Jesus said, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it," He states the truth that even as a child is a gift from God and must be received as such, so also the kingdom of God is a gift from God and must be received as such. For the kingdom of God cannot be earned or deserved, but it can be received only as a gift. Thus Jesus demonstrates this truth when He receives the children brought to Him. And yet, as Jesus accepted and received those children, He did so much more than the parents expected. He not only touched the children, He took them in His arms and blessed them. And He does the same for us. As He takes us in His arms and blesses us, He does so abundantly. He forgives all our sins, the great and the small, sins of omission, the good that we fail to do, and the sins of commission, the bad that we actually do, the sins we know, and those that we don't know. So, beloved, by God's grace, repent of your hard-heartedness and honor marriage as the lifelong relationship God has made it to be, and love and honor your spouse. And if your marriage ended in divorce because of unfaithfulness or any other reason, repent of anything you might have done to contribute to it, and live in the overflowing forgiveness that is yours in Christ. Each of you, repent of your hard-heartedness that drives a wedge between you and others, and that drives or pushes others away from Christ. Turn to Christ for forgiveness and restoration. Receive Him and the kingdom of God as the gift that they are. Rejoice in your bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, who gave His life for you and for all, so you may live with Him in heavenly bliss forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.